All right. So last week, as I mentioned, we had a great program for the service, which fell through because of the weather. And still, we had a small group of people who made their way into the service, and we gathered for worship. And unfortunately, I have not uploaded the service yet to the website because I need to edit it for time. Since you all weren't here, we took our time. In any case, just for those who were not here, it was the best sermon of the whole year. All right. I'm joking, you know that, right? But I say that every Sunday that you're not here, by the way. Yeah. That was the best sermon. Right. In any case, this is the first Sunday of Lent. And we're moving away from the series in the Psalms. Did anybody enjoy that series?
Yes.
Did anybody like what we covered?
Yes.
I think it was really profitable. I think it was a very good series to just look at the Psalms. And I don't know about you, but I learned a lot through that exercise, to going through those Psalms. I mean, from justice to happiness, to the way that we can see ourselves as victims, even if we don't realize it, right? And how we use that to cope sometimes. I hope that we learn from that journey. And that those things that were depicted in those Psalms is also part of the journey that others have threaded. And they have lessons for us, right? And that they are applicable to our lives even today. And we can learn from it. So last Sunday we read Luke 8. And last Sunday it was the traditional celebration of the transfiguration of Jesus. So we read Luke 9, that section that spoke about that. And we saw how the tendency of people is to settle into the journey. Okay, I'm just checking out to see if people are just paying attention to that. It's really important because we have that tendency. Well, God, the call of God is to move into mission, right? To have action, to participate. Our tendency is to sit back. Once we get comfortable with matters, it's like, oh, this is good. Right? That's what Peter said to the Lord when Elijah and Moses appeared. It says, oh, wow. Wait a minute, Lord. Let's stay right here. Right? Let's stay right here. Because it is really cool. It's really cool. I mean, we have seen your face just glowing. I wanna sit here and just hang out. And sometimes that's what happens to us. So that's why we have chosen this slogan, right? Reach, teach, serve. If you notice, those are actions. Hello, right? They are actions. There is no sitting down. There is no settling in those words. Hello? Uh-huh. Okay. I think the deal is this. It is a reminder of the never-ending mission that we have. The never-ending mission for us. The implication is that we should always be questioning, how are we to move forward? I'll say that again. We should always be questioning, how are we to move forward? Otherwise, we'll get stuck. So if you're questioning, that's good. Right? If you're questioning, if you're trying to figure out things in your head, that is good. Because that means you'll find answers. And that's how we learn. And Jesus is a teacher, right? A rabbi. And that's exactly what we find him doing in this passage that we're covering today. We find him teaching. And if you think my sermons are long, you haven't heard Jesus preaching. Actually, Paul, I think that I learned from him, and Paul preached on that there was a time that he got a young fellow killed. Right? This young fellow was listening to Paul and he was going like, man, I'm tired. Right? And he was sitting on the window and he fell, killed himself. Paul had to revive him so he could still continue listening. Right? I mean, it's that thing, right? It's that thing. Hey, there's more. There's more. There's more. Right? So I think that it's important for us to remember. And this sermon that Jesus was giving or teaching is really packed. It's packed with meaning. It's packed with lessons for us. I mean, he starts in chapter 5, and you remember that, right? The Beatitudes. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. And he's enunciating these things. He's telling these things to those who are listening. And I'm sure that they were saying, am I in that group or not? You see, it was making them think whether they were in those groups and that's blessing or if they were not. And then he goes on and he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Can you see yourself there? Yeah, for us. That's for us. Can you see yourself there? Can you see yourself as the light of the world? As the ones who have the message, the power, and the energy to share that with the world? All right, close your eyes, guys. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And as you have your eyes closed, ask yourself, is there light? Is there light in me? And what is it for? Is it just for me to just enjoy myself and settle in? Or is it for the world to see that God is true? I mean, what a statement, right? You can open your eyes if you still have them closed. He's just pouring into those who are listening about these matters. Light, the blessings of God. And he's then starts to clarify the law. The first five books of our Bible are considered the Torah, the teachings, the law, and he starts to pour into those who are there, telling them, listen, you have heard, do not kill, but I tell you, right? And whenever you hear, but I tell you, that means there's a whammy coming, right? There's a slap upside the head. It's like, pay attention, because there's more. Right? But I tell you that if you even think ill of your brother, woo, right? If your neighbor, you are murdering them. And I'm sure that people who were listening were saying, oh, wait a minute, this is more serious than what I thought. Because, you know, your thinking is that normally if you are not doing those things, then you're cool. But we don't go deeper and we don't go further. And that's what Jesus was saying when he's teaching to all of them. It is worse than what you think. Basically, what he is alluding to is to what are the intentions of your heart. All right, and I want you to hear that because this is really important. What are the intentions of your heart? Lent, again, is this time that we take to prepare. This is time that we take to introspectively analyze ourselves, looking inside and looking deep. what is it that we're doing? And why is it that we're doing this? So I think that all this Sermon of the Mount for us could be part of that process, because it sheds light into our lives. But please don't read it as I used to read it, right? I need to read the whole Bible, right? You know, you're going chapter by chapter and just going. No, stay with it. Stay with it. Blessed are those. Now, he turns from those statements and that part of the sermon to those admonitions to, it starts with some of the language that by now, again, I think that you know, that I don't like. Do not. Right? I don't know what happens in your life, but that's the kind of language he uses, and for some reason, whenever I hear those two words together, I react. Do not. What do you mean? What do you mean, do not? Right? That rebel inside, you know, that rebel self of me, you know, he just wants to jump and say, why? Why? I'm free. I should be able to do whatever I want. What do you mean, do not? So, you know, I have to do my relaxing breathing exercises. I'm going to just breathe. Just breathe. This is all right. And continue reading and trying to get the idea behind it, you know. I'm really glad that he really starts with the word beware. Because it's more subtle, right? Beware is more for your protection. So it piques your interest a little bit more than do not. Right, so when he starts, beware, I can ease into it and say, okay, all right, maybe this is good for me, right? Maybe there's protection here. Maybe there's something that I need to pay attention to. It's just subtle. So I tend to have to do this, you know, control myself when I read those verbs that follow. Do not, and then look for the verb, right? Do not what? What is it? I need to step back, take a breath. Do not sound a trumpet. Okay, I can handle that. I'm not a trumpet player, right? Everything's all right. Just relax, right? Or do not be like hypocrites. Okay, I can handle that, right? Because nobody, I mean, I don't see myself as a hypocrite, right? So, okay, all right, you know, that's okay because that's for them. But my normal self would say, what are you calling me? Right? You know? And I tell you, this is exactly what happened. It's anxiety, right? It's anxiety. Whenever we hear these words, it just brings up all the flags. Wait a minute. Are you talking about me? Is this about me? Is it me? Because then we get defensive, right? No, I'm not a hypocrite. I can't be a hypocrite. I'm on the level. My wife knows everything. But if we really hear the instructions from Jesus, we realize that he's talking about the real in our lives. He's talking about stuff that is true. And that's why it takes effort to hear the words, to look inside honestly and dig and stay with it so that we can see who we truly are. This is exactly the situation as those Jewish people that were sitting there as he is preaching were in. Hey, I'm cool. I obey the Ten Commandments. I haven't lied today. You know, I haven't killed anybody. I'm cool. That means that I can go on and do what I do in the world. But if we really take a close look, then there's a deeper self. And this is what Jesus is addressing, is the motives behind that deeper self. See, he wants his disciples not to be like the others who allow themselves to be led by their selfish ambitions. You hear that? He wants his disciples to be true to themselves, to not allow themselves to just correlate with the ways of being of the world. He wants his disciples to, again, reconsider what are their motivations. If you are someone who needs to be somebody to have that sense of peace, who needs to have a title next to your name in order to be at ease, to have recognition, maybe from your parents, from your teachers, or from your peers. This applies to us. It's important to figure out why is it that we function in those terms. Because you know what happens is that your motivations will follow that. If I have to be acknowledged by the world, then my actions are going to seek that. Right? I'm going to want to be seen. I'm going to want to be just recognized. I'm going to want to be part of the in group, right? If we're in search for acknowledgement and recognition by society or by those groups of influence, then that will be the motivation to what I do. If you're looking for an attaboy or an attagirl, all right, okay, I got to ask you this real quick. All right, does it feel good?
Yeah.
All right. It feels good when somebody says, attaboy, attagirl. That was awesome. What you did was awesome. And you're like, your chest starts to pop up and say, oh, I got it. And that's the attraction, you see? Because we want to have that feeling. We want to be in that place. So that then becomes the motivation in your life for what you do. So if you are there, stop. But how in the world are you going to stop if you don't know if you're there? In other words, do not, right? And I told you already how I react to those words, okay? Do not let your selfish ambitions and your selfish motivations regulate what you do. Note this important thing that this passage gives us. Note that the practices are not the problem. Hello? Right? The practices are not a question here. The implication is that, of course, you need to practice piety, right? Of course, you need to give alms. Of course, we are to pray. That's de facto. That is really just acknowledged and true. But our motivations matter. They matter because we can fool the world and everybody around us, but we cannot fool God. All right, I'll say that again. We can fool the world and we can fool everybody around us, but we cannot fool God. You see, Jesus is not saying don't do these things. As a matter of fact, he is really supporting that they will do those and they should do those. But he says, do not, but do. Right? Do not, but do. As he follows his statement with the teaching, pray then in this way. Do it this way. If you give alms, do it this way. Because that way, you will fight against all these demons that are trying to convince you of doing it otherwise. So there is do. There's a doing part here. There's an action that is given to us, an option for us as we move forward. And again, remember, after this passage a little bit further is where we hear Jesus teaching them how to pray. Right? You know, do not pray in public and all this stuff, you know, in the corner. Right? But pray this way. With your God. In that place. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come.
Your will.
Your what?
Will.
Your will. Right? Your will be done. Right? Now you understand why I react. Whenever it is do not, right? Now you get it? I mean, because that prayer is your will be done is against mine. That's set against mine. It's set against what I feel like I want to do. It's set against all the things that I like. It's set against everything that the culture and society throws at us. Your will. Now, do you feel like you need to be rewarded for your actions of faithfulness? Do you feel sometimes that you feel like you want to have an attaboy or an attagirl? Or do you feel already rewarded? Which is why you're motivated to be faithful. Notice the difference, right? Note the difference between those two questions. Do you feel like you want to be rewarded for your faithfulness, or do you feel that you have already been rewarded so that you can continue to be faithful? As we prepare ourselves for Holy Week, Easter, perhaps the important thing is to realize, why is it that we do what we do? Perhaps the important thing is to just look inside and see, God, am I in the real here with you? Is there something that I'm not seeing? Is there something that I'm blinded to? I mentioned my wife a little while ago. And some of the most heated conversations that we have are about how we see each other. Okay, couples, relax, I'm not going to meddle. But isn't it so weird, right, that we can see each other differently? But what we do is immediately go to that place where we're defending ourselves regardless of the truth behind that. I have another question. And by now you know that I have questions all over the place. Do we serve out of the expectation of reward? Maybe for God's love or for God's grace in our lives, or maybe because we want the other people around us to see us. Or do you serve out of gratitude for God's love and grace? You see, the difference in perspective, I think, means everything. Everything. And I truly believe these are worthy questions for us to consider in our lives. These are worthy questions to ask in that alone time that we have. These are worthy questions for us to pose to ourselves. Two Puerto Rican minutes, okay? And we're done. You see, perhaps the introspective aspect of Lent is the right setting to analyze our motivations for our practices. Maybe this is the time that God has allowed us to have so that we reframe ourselves, right? So that we take an honest look, that we look at ourselves, not in the light of what people outside see, but in the light of what God sees. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of what is in here, so we can truly see ourselves. And it's possible that, you know, this is an opportunity for us to zip our hearts open, right? And bear it to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your work in me. Father, I need your eyes in me. Father, please help me see those things that I cannot see because I am so self-involved and so self-referenced that I cannot see truth. Perhaps, as the song says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Right? Maybe this is the day that the Lord has made for us to bear our hearts to Him, to be honest, and to be faithful. So as we start this period of Lent, let us then take time. You know, maybe this is a tool, right? Maybe this is a tool. Maybe you just take scripture that you're interested in And just read. Maybe you take time and just breathe. But it's important not to see this Lent as the norm, right? The norm is you're going to give up something. Meat. Or you're going to give up sodas. Maybe the way to look at this period of time is that you're going to offer something to God. That you're going to offer yourself. It's not taking anything away, but giving yourself to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, again, open the eyes of our hearts. Father, help us to see. Help us, Lord, to sit down. To let anxiety go away. To concentrate in what you and your Spirit want to accomplish with us, within us. Help us to gain perspective. Help us to gain wisdom from that. Because as we set ourselves in this path of this preparation of us this time, when we look at the time of your death, we'll see all the goodness that you have provided for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.